news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
We'll begin today in India, where the health ministry on Thursday reported 379,257 new coronavirus infections. That's just the latest in a continuing series of global single-day records set during this devastating second wave of COVID-19. India also confirmed another 3,645 deaths from the virus, the most it has seen in a single day since the pandemic started. Hospitals have filled up in Delhi and started turning away patients and their family members. Gravediggers and crematorium employees are working around the clock to keep up as the deaths continue. The Biden administration late Wednesday outlined a plan to send India $100 million in aid, including oxygen tanks, N95 masks, raw materials that India needs to produce more than 20 million doses of the AstraZeneca vaccine, and more. Globally, there have now been more than 150 million reported coronavirus cases in just 13 months since the pandemic began. Across the U.S., more cities are reopening, like New York City, which is primed to lift all restrictions by July 1st. Still, experts say more people need to get vaccinated in order to maintain safety. And that could be a problem, since new polling reveals about a quarter of American adults say they won't even try to get a shot. Please get vaccinated. Well, good news on the economic front. U.S. growth accelerated in the first quarter of 2021 to an annualized rate of 6.4%. That's a jump from a 4.3% rate the previous quarter, and it brings the nation's GDP almost back to pre-pandemic levels. Economists also predict next quarter's growth could reach 10%, soaring, bolstered by increased interest in shopping, traveling, and dining out as pandemic restrictions slowly taper off. Economists expected the growth rate for 2021 as a whole to be around 7%. That would be the fastest pace in a calendar year since 1984. It's thanks to big federal spending, including President Biden's $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief package, which has helped the GDP rebound from the plunge at the start of the pandemic faster than it did after the Great Recession. And then there's this. The Wall Street Journal reporting that the stock market closed out President Biden's first 100 days in office on Thursday with its best start to a presidential term since the days of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. The S&P 500 has risen 11% since the January 20th inauguration. The index recorded its strongest performance since the start of Roosevelt's first term in 1933, when it surged 80% after the 1929 crash. By comparison, the S&P 500 rose 5.3% in the first 100 days of Trump's term. The Supreme Court on Thursday ruled in favor of an undocumented Guatemalan immigrant challenging his deportation by immigration authorities. It was a 6-3 decision, get this, written by Justice Neil Gorsuch, backed by an interesting group that included Clarence Thomas, Amy Coney Barrett, plus Stephen Breyer, Sonia Sotomayor, and Elena Kagan. Wow. Gorsuch wrote that the Justice Department violated federal law by failing to provide immigrants facing deportation a clear notice to appear, detailing the charges and court date in the case. Gorsuch wrote, quote, "If men must turn square corners when they deal with the government, it cannot be too much to expect the government to turn square corners when it deals with them." All right. In other court news, Derek Chauvin will be sentenced for the murder of George Floyd in June. The trial for the three other former Minneapolis cops indicted in the killing is set for August. And now we learn that the four of them could also face federal criminal civil rights charges, and that could happen as soon as next week. On Thursday, lawmakers on Capitol Hill and advocates who want to overhaul the nation's policing laws had a series of meetings to identify legislation that can pass both chambers of Congress. The families of George Floyd, Eric Garner, Terrence Crutcher, Andrew Brown, and Botham Jean, each of whom were killed by police, met with senators and White House officials to request meaningful change. Maybe this time something will actually be done. Well, Florida's Republican-led legislative session wraps up Friday after doing a lot of damage. On Thursday, they jumped on the voter suppression bandwagon, passing new rules on voting that black lawmakers said would make it harder for millions of voters, especially people of color, to cast ballots. The Florida measure echoes what was done in Georgia and is being rammed through other state legislatures, adds rules for voting by mail, and bars anyone from providing food and water to people waiting in line with the excuse that it could influence the people standing in line to vote in a particular way. Wow. Oh, but Florida did more damage. Legislation excluding transgender girls and women from playing on female teams in public schools and universities is on the governor's desk. You get the idea. But as bad as many of the bills passed are, the worst of them is House Bill 1, and DeSantis already signed that one into law. In a scathing editorial Friday morning, the Miami Herald wrote, HB 1 is an insidious law, anti-democratic and un-American, an edict some autocrat might have cooked up. Aimed at clamping down on social justice demonstrations, the bill increases penalties for crimes committed during protests and also allows even peaceful protesters and uninvolved bystanders to be swept up and hauled in by police during protests where violence might occur. It even shields from civil liability anyone who might drive their cars into protesters walking in the street. Thankfully, some civil rights lawyers have already filed a lawsuit challenging that law. The Miami Herald stated, quote, "This lawsuit is one of the best things to come out of a mean-spirited legislative session that has resulted in few things to cheer." And while we're on the subject of Florida, things continue to worsen for Florida man Matt Gaetz. The latest shoe dropped Thursday when the Daily Beast reported the existence of a confession letter written by Gaetz's friend and cohort, Joel Greenberg. He's the former Seminole County, Florida tax collector who's currently facing a 33-count indictment on charges ranging from stalking to sex trafficking. The letter, which exists in several drafts, asked Roger Stone to help Greenberg secure a pardon from the then president. Obviously, the pardon never happened, but Greenberg detailed in his letter his relationship with Gaetz. He admitted that he facilitated Gaetz's interactions with college students and paying young women for sex on his behalf. And he claimed that he, Gaetz, and others had sex with a minor they believed to be 19 at the time. She was 17. Congressman Ted Lieu publicly asked Republican leader Kevin McCarthy to remove Gaetz from the House Judiciary Committee immediately, pointing out that the committee has jurisdiction over the Justice Department that is investigating Gaetz, including allegedly for sex crimes with a minor, Lieu calling it an untenable conflict of interest. And finally, as we mark the passage of the first 100 days of the Biden administration, number 46 and the First Lady paid a visit to number 39, Jimmy Carter, and former First Lady Rosalynn Carter in Plains, Georgia. Biden driving home that he understands that his ability to get legislation passed in the Senate is only possible thanks to the election of Democratic Senators John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock in Georgia. And he told reporters there, quote, "We owe a special thanks to the people of Georgia. Because of you, the rest of America was able to get help. If you ever wonder if elections make a difference, just remember what you did here in Georgia. You changed America." And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.